Hey, everybody, and welcome to Deja View,
your favorite view podcast. You just don't know it yet.
With me, as usual, is Michael. He is an amazing instructor and content creator all around the Vue.js ecosystem, right away from Waterloo, Canada.
And we've also got Alex here, who is out in Amsterdam, which might actually be just around the corner, depending on where you're at. And he is a Nuxt core team member and does lots of other things, educational content online.
Exactly. And today we want to talk about one amazing Vue.js feature that maybe some of you used not yet, or maybe you did, which is teleports. So one or other has heard about it. And maybe, Michael, you could just introduce it here straight away and tell us, what exactly are teleports?
Yeah, so teleports are a feature. It's a built-in component that comes with Vue, and it lets us take whatever content that we want and render it in a completely different spot on the DOM. So we're basically teleporting it from one location on our page into a completely separate location on the page. That's what that component is, you know, at the very highest level.
Interesting. Okay, so it's built into Vue. You can just use it straight away in any kind of project. You don't need any third-party code for that, right?
No third-party code is needed.
Perfect. And so when we have the teleport, say, okay, we have some content that should be rendered somewhere else. Like, I think the classic case that we all know is like, okay, we have a button that opens a certain window, also known as a modal. Mm-hmm. And then we don't want to be to have the modal be part of the button. That would be a bit weird, like structure-wise. So that would be a typical use case, right?
Yeah, so I think if you've ever built a modal or used teleport, then you might see these things as being one and the same thing. And the trick with modals is that you want it to appear over the entire page. And so to do that with HTML, you usually have to put things all the way at the bottom of the page so it comes last. And then you can do some fun CSS things to make it the whole page and all of that. But sometimes if you're in the middle of your app somewhere and you want to render a modal like that, you can't really get to the very bottom of the page. And so this is what that helps you do. You can use this teleport component, and then whatever you put in that slot of the teleport component, it will teleport it all the way to the end of the body or somewhere else, depending on how you have it set up. And then you can get around all of that.
And you can also render it to different parts of the application. It doesn't have to be the body, you say. You can also say, like, okay, I have like an own element. There should some things go in, or I don't know, like I have a header element. I want to have some things teleported up there. Even that works.
Yeah. So you can teleport things however you want all the way around your application.
Smooth. That's pretty cool. And so you say that we just discussed that, right? Like a modal as the typical use case. Do you have any other scenarios in mind where you think that's like that kind of teleport would be useful, either to make it easier to style things, or as you said, like to have them in a better structure so they can go on a full screen or appear where they should appear?
For me, I guess I kind of group all these things into like a modal like thing. And I don't know, I may be not that precise with how I use the word modal. But if you have like an image gallery that you want to display as like, you know, that lightbox style where you click on the image and then it expands to be the full page, the full screen, that's something that you want to do. Or notifications or toasts or whatever term you like to use for those you want to put it somewhere near the end of the page. So again, they can appear on top of all your other content. You know, there's basically anything where you want this content to appear on top of everything else. That's a great use case for it, but I'm sure there are lots of other use cases. I just haven't come across them.
And can you also nest them? Like, I just imagine having a modal inside a modal. Like, please don't ever do that in production, folks. But I guess sometimes you have weird requirements and you can't do something about that. Is that also one scenario? Like, can you nest teleports?
You know, I have not tried that, but I would imagine that you couldn't? Is that possible?
It's an interesting part. Like, if you think about it, okay, let's render a content somewhere else, and then content from there is also rendered somewhere else. I would imagine it works, but I don't see why it's necessary. Of course, once again, we have requirements. But I can imagine that can cause some confusion to people who read the code at least.
Right, or teleporting something into another teleport so that it just gets teleported to a third spot, right?
Yes.
So
there's already in my head, this sounds very confusing. So
yeah.
I think in general, when it comes to teleports, I have the feeling you would use them rather like sparingly, like not every application necessarily has teleports.
Yeah, and you would want to be careful with them because they also break the flow of how your code appears. So the nice thing is that it separates what gets rendered to the DOM from the code as it appears in your project. But then that also is going to be a source of some confusion potentially, or could lead to some bugs where, you know, you've got any component in your code base can now teleport to wherever it wants. And so you can have code ending up in all sorts of places that you didn't expect. It's the same. It's kind of like global state in that way where, you know, anything could be put in there. So yeah, I would guess that you would want to have things and use this sparingly.
That makes sense. And what about, I know we haven't discussed it in depth by now, but what about like async components or suspense? Have you ever tried rendering like suspense content or async components inside a teleport? Any chance ever did that? Because I remember I tried that and it somehow failed. So maybe you have a bit more experience on that.
I actually haven't tried this myself. So I would be interested to know how that works and how that interacts with that. But again, it's like one of these things where at least my understanding of how it actually works under the hood is not that strong. And so then how it interacts with SSR or async and suspense, or, you know, having multiple things teleporting to the same spot is like, these are sort of questions in my mind of, are these good things or bad things? Or like, you know,
should you ever do them?
Should we ever do them?
Yeah. Fair point. And yeah, when we come to these scenarios, can you imagine any other like pitfalls or problems when it comes to teleports? Now you mentioned, okay, like nested might be a bit strange, and we agreed like maybe we shouldn't, it might work, but we'd be interesting if anybody of our listeners has a scenario where it makes sense. I would be super curious. I also remember like headless UI, for example, from the Taiwan people also uses their own like portal component, let's say, to somehow mimic teleports. That was also very interesting because there you can have like nested dialogues, more or less, to have like a dialogue and then something nested, because they don't tell you how to style it as well. And it can get quite messy. And I remember some bug reports around there too, where things disappear in certain scenarios. So it's tricky.
Yeah, when you have a lot of things going on, then it also becomes a UX question of, do you allow like stacked modals, or do you like, can you open a modal from another modal? And like, what, like, is that, some people don't like modals to begin with, and they just say like, you should just open up a new page. And, you know, there's all those questions that are, you know, beyond the scope of this teleport component itself, but interesting to think about as well.
Absolutely. And now that we already mentioned like the UX question, we can also jump over to accessibility straight away. Because there is, I think since 2022, there is this dialogue component in HTML that finally, in a way, allows us to create modals on our own. Have you ever like tinkered around with that, Michael, by any chance? But no.
I saw this component being shipped, and I was glad that it was there, but I haven't actually taken a look at that. I think at the time I was working in a place where we had our own component library, and so we were happy with that and not looking to do any major refactors or anything like that. So So I haven't actually managed to take a look at that. Have you tinkered with that one?
I did quite a bit because at first I was like, okay, it's amazing if I can do things natively, if they work the same way, of course. And yeah, as I'm usually not very tied to component libraries or like just spin up a small project, I was like, okay, let's try it. And actually it works quite well. We still have a few things with like accessibility concern because it's still recommended to set like focus, I think, manually when you create it and so on, so on. So there are a few things that are still up to the developer eventually. And there are also some scenarios that don't work because the dialogue is the like topmost component eventually. So let's say you have a dialogue and there you have a word. If you want to hover over the word, you have a little like label, a little pop over explaining a word, for example.
Right.
This doesn't work then anymore because the dialogue is the topmost element, which also means I haven't tried it, but I guess no nested dialogues. And then things get a bit tricky because you're limited in a way there and have to fall back to other ways of doing that, like with a div and a portal eventually.
Right. So if you're just going to do like pretty basic like confirmation dialogues and things like that, then that is a good use case for that one. But
absolutely. Yes.
If you're going to do like a settings modal where you're going to, you know, have all these tabs inside and want to update your user account or, you know, more complicated functionality, then
it can be tricky.
It's not as good for that.
Yeah, it can be tricky for sure. Especially if you realize, okay, you built the thing and then you're like, I need that popover, for example. And then,
right.
That's always unfortunate. But also there's this popover, I think, API coming to the browsers. I think it's already shipped in Chrome soon. So that will solve that problem again. And then we're good again. But that might take a little bit of time.
Yeah. The more things being shipped natively, the better. It's just that, you know, you lose some control. And so there's always trade-offs there with that.
Oh, of course, of course. But yeah, I also agree, especially when it comes to modals, I'm very happy if I don't have to build it all by myself again. And then once again, don't forget things like, okay, you need a useful close button, of course. You want to have a focus mm-hmm. trap so people can't navigate out of the modal when it's open, like accessibility-wise. I still remember I like to use the keyboard a lot, and always when I use tab and then jump out of the modal, I'm like, that's unfortunate. And like all these things, like there is lots of work to build a pretty decent modal, especially if you really start from scratch. If you use like a functional library like Headless UI and others to help you, that's already a good start. But even there, you have to deal with these things on your own, like with the focus. The focus might be even solved, but like with, okay, where to place the close button and where to make sure that certain other scenarios are considered and so on, so on, so on.
Yeah, it's a lot of extra stuff, and the teleport component only solves that one piece for us. It's an important piece, and Vue shouldn't help us solve all these other things, but it's a useful thing to have in the framework. I remember before the teleport component came in, the strategy that I recall using was having some sort of like a modal manager component that you specifically rendered at the end of your application. And then you had some sort of Vuex store at the time that kept track of all of the content on the modals and which modal was active and, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. And then elsewhere in your application, then instead of rendering directly the modal, you could sort of have a mutation that you set that would trigger this modal. So that was one way that it worked. And then you have this like management layer that kind of deals with all these things. Probably more useful for things like notifications and stuff where you like want it to pop up for 30 seconds and then sure. disappear and all that yep. kind of stuff. But yeah, so I think with the teleport component, we still need that kind of system in some way.
That also means we're a bit more flexible, right? As we mentioned with dialogue, it gives us limitations, and for a modal that might be fine, as we discussed before. But yeah, we need some business logic in there, and then standard not necessarily can help to relieve us from them. We need the business logic still, and we need to implement it, and we need a way to do that. So I also just mentioned notifications, which is a great example for teleport as well. I think I use it even on my own side for that, because it makes things easier. But as you said, it just allows us to render certain content there. But about appearance and what should be rendered exactly, that's still our job.
I'm trying to think of other use cases for teleport that are beyond just this modal notifications thing. And I don't know. Like, are those the only categories? Because so if you have like a chat application or like a chat window for support, let's say lots of sites have this, and there's like, you know, that floating button at the bottom, right?
Yeah.
You can click it and you can chat with support. Is that like, you could use teleport for that, but is that a modal? That's just like a popover thing.
Yeah, I think it's more or less, it's another element you want to render down there, no matter if it's like notifications you can click or a button, yeah. Like also these like scroll to top buttons. I think it's also a good option. Though even with them, it depends if you want to render them on your like app.view or on your page level, if every page needs it, or if you say, okay, I define that element that should hold it and then teleport over there, which is also a fair way to do. But yeah, I think as long as you need some dynamic ways to move things over that can be used. I've also seen applications where the header was like, there was an image for the header, it was teleported over there because it couldn't be changed on the place straight away because the information wasn't there. So that was also an interesting way to see that used. It's not something I would recommend, I think, because it's still, there are better patterns for that. But I know that people also use it as escape hatch, more or less.
One important thing to mention is that the teleportation, like where it gets teleported, doesn't have to be inside the view application. We can teleport outside of the app. So if you have a progressively enhanced website, that could be an interesting use case that you might need to use teleport for, where you have your app rendered in one spot and then you teleport some content out into another part of the page.
Interesting. Yeah. Especially when you don't like have Vue or Nuxt fully built by your front end fully in that language. That seems like a compelling version too, indeed. Interesting. Yeah, that's a really good point. I didn't think about it too much because usually like most of applications are fully built with Vue or Nuxt in that case. But yeah, the progressive enhancement, that's a really good point too. Nice. Great. And while we're at it, have you used teleports back in Vue two times, Michael?
I don't think I have.
I still remember like the core team member, Linus Borg, aka Thorsten Lundborg, came up with a module or like basically an NPM package for that, saying, hey, let's have portals, as it was called back then. I think the package name was like Vue Portal, to also have exactly that functionality and allowed us to move things over. I remember I used in quite a few applications just to make notifications or modals being a bit nicer to style and to show and so on and so on. So, and it's really nice to see that they are part of the core now, which is once again a great thing of, okay, it's open source, somebody released a package for it. And okay, in this case, that somebody was a Vue core team member. But it could have been in like a user as well, a developer, a newcomer. And eventually we see that in the core because it's an important part.
Yeah, it's nice to see that like borrowing from other packages and other things in the ecosystem and like pulling it in where it makes sense. And yeah.
Great. And I think then there's just one more thing to discuss. Now we talked about progressive enhancement. We talked about the client side of teleports. Maybe we should also talk about the server-side rendering together with teleports, because by experience, I know this is a common thing, and there are also some pitfalls there.
Yeah, so in 3.11 in Nuxt, there was a new feature that landed, which I think you might know something about.
Yes, indeed. That could be because I wrote that, indeed. So the idea is that hydration, which is the process of converting the HTML from the server to like the client side, the view representation. This is a bit tricky with teleports because, so you have basically two options. In Vue, if you do like a teleport to body, let's say, it will be always appended at the end. And in Nuxt, we couldn't really do that because then we don't know where the hydration should end and it will give some mismatches. So none of the server side rendering apps will still work. So we had to prepend them, so put them on the top. That started another issue where people say, hey, on the client side, this works differently than on the server side, and we learned that behavior. And also, yeah, we want it at the end for styling purposes, which makes things more complicated. So then the idea of app teleports was born. And app teleports, well, the idea is we just followed the recommendation that Evan had a while ago anyway. And the link to that is also in the show notes as for all the other things we talk about. Because he said, yeah, even in a client-side view application, you usually shouldn't teleport to body. You should have an element that's next to your application, as you said, Michael. So like outside of your app, and then move everything in there to have control over that. And that's more or less what we implemented for Nuxt.js as well. The target is by default hashtag teleports, so just as an ID. But you can change the name, and you can also change the tag if you want to, if it shouldn't be a div, but whatever. If you have interesting business requirements, go for it. And then you just say teleport to hashtag teleports, and that will simply work. Meaning that now the hydration will work as expected. Your things are listed below your application, so you have the proper way of styling them there below, so the technique can lie over everything, and you're good to go. That's more or less the whole feature.
So now Nuxt is adding in this special element at the end specifically for teleports so that we can make it SSR safe, right?
Exactly. That's mainly for that. And as I said before, it's more or less also just quote-unquote following a strategy that Avenue suggested in the beginning. But of course, as not everybody uses teleports, especially not on the server side, because that's also, it's not the most common thing to do that on the server side, but it's still necessary sometimes. Then we thought like, okay, there is an issue around that. And I was like, let's fix it. Let's see what we can do. And implementing that little extra tag was the way to go. And of course, you can also disable, like you can enable or disable that as you like. So if you never use it and you want to save that one DOM node, you're free to do so.
So with this feature, what are things that get server-side rendered inside this teleports component, this teleport component? Because I would imagine that for most modals, we are only rendering those on the client side and probably even lazy loading these components based, you know, depending on how heavy they are, and notifications and things like that, probably not rendering them on the server side. So do you have any specific examples that you can recall of rendering on the server side into that teleport component?
Yeah, like I agree with most of the things. If you use teleports only client side, you will never use that that teleports element on the server side, and that's fine. You can still teleport to it to make sure everything works as expected. But right. Sometimes, like, okay, you want to open a URL and it should open a modal straight away. Like, I don't know, you want to jump to the confirmation of something, or you have some interesting right. case with the light box where you say, hey, show me that straight away in that area. And that would be the way. So you see the same as we do on the client side, but straight away from the server. And it's also like you don't have some kind of layout shift because you just see the site, and then on client side you render it and it's once again like a black backdrop. You're like, oh, the site was just white a few milliseconds ago. So it's also there to improve the user experience. But of course, if you don't have to render any modal or lightbox and so on on the server side, then you're good.
I see. So like deep linking straight into a modal being opened.
Yep, right. That would be one of the cases.
That makes sense.
Exactly. And also notifications, you can do that if it's not like a user-based notification, but more like, oh, hey, this is like a general way of telling something if you want to. But I think even on my side, I mostly rendered them on the client side. Though I also use static site generation, so that would be trickier otherwise. But yeah, and I checked to cycle back on the suspense part. So there is apparently a bug right now in Vue Core that was created by Daniel, lead of the Nuxt team, that says you cannot right now, you get hydration errors with suspense elements in teleport. So that's broken at the moment, which is also a little bit unfortunate because that also is impacting server components and so on and next. But we're getting there. There is a PR on the way, I've seen already. So the Vue core team people are on it, which is amazing.
Yeah, always things to iron out and to improve. And I mean, that's the great thing about open source, is that we can contribute to that and push things forward. Always, absolutely, always new stuff.
And I'm very happy that also people take the time to create these reproductions, because this makes it so easy for us to dive into these issues, because I think we all seen it every now and then with like, okay, there's an issue in the framework. Let me quickly do a reproduction. And then you figure out, oh, wait, it's my own code. I never have to send it.
Yeah.
And that also means I don't have to wait forever or for a week or a month for someone else to tell me, oh, I can't reproduce that. It might be your own code. So just like as a developer, the skill of creating a reproduction is so invaluable, just because it will help yourself so often, saves you lots of time. And even you say, hey, I want to show it to a colleague, or it's an internal library, or it's a legacy project, whatever. In all cases, this will come in handy.
I found it very helpful to learn new features and also debug things when they're not working as I expected. A lot of times these apps that we have there's a lot of stuff going on, and there's extra state. We've got Pina stores all over. We've got, SSR, we've got all this stuff. And so it's easier to isolate like what you're actually trying to do and get rid of all that noise and just like spin up a quick sandbox and test it out and say, okay, it is working. Something else is going on that's breaking it in my application. Or, okay, what I thought it would work actually isn't working. Now let me tinker in this sandbox, and then I can figure out how to actually make it work way faster. And then I can take that knowledge and port it over to my actual app. And then I found that to be a much faster, much better way of debugging things than just like trying to constantly tinker with it inside this app, and then there could be any number of things that are affecting that thing and breaking it. So
that's the thing, like it could be your code, it could be your colleague's code, it could be your 2 days old code or your 2 years old code or the framework code or library. There are so many moving pieces, and I totally agree. It's like debugging is way easier that way, or also learning new concepts, just like trying out things. And if you say, oh, it doesn't work, and you're in a sandbox, and it's way, way easier first to share and to ask for help, because nobody wants to dig through your whole project and nobody has time for that. Like, that's also a harsh truth in the end. But it's also easier to then understand, like, okay, that doesn't work, but this works. So where to go from here? So the learning, create your reproductions. And also learn to express like, oh, hey, not only here's the code, but when I click here, this is happening, but I expect this to happen because... whatever, the docs say so, because it was this blog post from 2012 mentioned that in the footnote, who knows? But that's also like one thing, as soon as you write a code, then you can also like take 1 or 2 minutes to just describe it, because just because I have the code, it's not necessarily clear what I have to do to reproduce it. You're the one with the problem, and you're the expert in the problem to describe it. Mm. So, yeah.
I like that framing of you're the expert in this problem, and transfer that knowledge.
I actually got that while I was working on my thesis. I was talking to my supervisor. Hi, by the way, if you're listening. It could be very, very fair chance. And the idea was also there that he was saying like, yeah, look, you're the subject expert. Nobody should be like deeper into the topic scientifically than you are. So now you have to more or less summarize it, dumb it down, and tell us what you found out and how you did it. And that works with a reproduction in code the same way, but luckily you don't have to write 97 pages for that.
True. So I think we've covered a lot of teleport and the component and how to use it, what to use it for, some pitfalls, how to use it with SSR and suspense. Hopefully soon we'll be working with hydration and all of that.
Exactly. We've also seen the dialogue element, how that compares to teleport, and that it can solve some issues, but it's also not perfect. We still have to write some business logic.
So that is it for us. We will see you next week.
And maybe you haven't listened to any previous episodes, so then go all the way back, check them out, because they're really cool with some amazing guests on there and also with the two of us. So yeah, see you next week and stay tuned for everything upcoming.